You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the superintendent of the Humboldt Unified School District, Dan Streeter.
Welcome to Talk of the Town, Prescott Valley. This is Humboldt Happenings. We're from 4 to 5 p.m. the first Tuesday of every month. This is your place for all things HUSD. We have a great show lined up for you today. Today we're going to be focusing on really our teachers, some great things happening in our classrooms. We're going to be talking our Humboldt Education Foundation grant program. We'll be joined in studio this afternoon with Humboldt Education Foundation President Mr. Jim Clemens, as well as two of our outstanding teachers, Diane Hamilton and Amy Van Winkle. We will be talking the HEF grant program, great teachers, and really all things HUSD. It is Tuesday, February 4th. We are rocking and rolling in 2020 in the second semester for the 2019-2020 school year. And today we're putting the spotlight on our teachers and our foundation. We're talking literacy, we're talking school music programs, and we're talking HEF teacher grants. Before we jump into today's great lineup, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Talk of the Town, Prescott Valley on KQ. 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, and streaming live worldwide at kqna.com.
Oh, say can you see?
It's not every day you hear a British person singing the national anthem, but success is about getting the right attention. At A&E Rupographics, we provide printing that catches the eye. Get your business noticed with exciting new print marketing and signage. Quality marketing shows the quality service we know you provide. Stop by one of our three great locations or call 442-9116. Get your business noticed with A&E Rupographics today.
Barrett Propane, the name you trust. We want you to stay comfortable with us. Over the years, we've taken pride in serving you. Locally owned, we're neighbors too. Serving the community is what we do. Barrett Propane, the name that's tried and true. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Let's make your hair happy. Let's go to a fun, friendly salon. Let's go to Tanessa's Family Hair Care in Prescott Valley. Hi, Tanessa here. Whether you're looking for a new trendy style or something more traditional, Tanessa's Family Hair Care can do it. We offer everything from hair extensions, cuts, colors, and a variety of hair care for the entire family. Call 775-0320 for an appointment or find us on Facebook at Tanessa's with an E Family Hair Care. Come on in for a smile and a style that's right for you.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 White Spar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
Roses are red, violets are blue. There's a giant share of Castle Cash waiting for you. It's the Don't Break My Heart giveaway at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel. Two hearts are better than one, so grab a loved one and start earning entries all February. Hourly drawings every Saturday in February from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for a chance to win $5,000 in Castle Cash. At 11 p.m., a lucky guest will have a chance to win $10,000 in Castle Cash. It's the Don't Break My Heart giveaway, only at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel.
Must be 21 and a Players Club member to participate. See Players Club for details.
Everyone's talking about Augie's Restaurant.
Augie's has the best appetizers and the best martinis ever.
It's got a really great atmosphere, a real homey feeling when you go in there. They got a great service staff that takes care of you from when you walk in to when you leave.
It's warm, it's friendly, it's fun, it's home away from home.
Chef Joel, best chef ever.
Check out Augie's. It's the place to dine on Highway 69, Augie's Frontier Village.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the superintendent of the Humboldt Unified School District, Dan Streeter.
And welcome back to Humboldt Happenings. We're talking all things HUSD. I'm Dan Streeter, proud superintendent of the Humboldt Unified School District. And joining me in studio right now is our Humboldt Education Foundation president, Mr. Jim Clemens. Jim, thanks for joining me on today's show.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate you bringing me in and so we can talk about our foundation.
Yeah, I'm excited about the show. Now you and I, we go back. We go way back, back to my principal days.
Exactly. I think we figure it out. It's at least 11 years.
We're at 11 years. I was the principal. We were working through the Prescott Valley Rotary.
And, correct.
And actually did some pretty cool programs through the Rotary at the high school. I mean, you were a big part in
that's
bringing
right.
some programs, Link Crew.
Yeah, exactly.
That started at the Rotary. I don't think that everybody realizes that's still going strong at the high school, and it's really one of the great programs that we have in the district.
Yeah, and that's, you know, part of Rotary has always been to help our educators out and our children. And so that's kind of where I got into this. And of course, then both my parents were teachers. So, in fact, my mom was a fifth grade teacher. I had her in fifth grade. So it was kind of interesting. But I've always been part of education, and that's kind of what's led me into, you know, being on the Humboldt Education Foundation, being president, and looking to give back so we can help our teachers do the best job they can.
Yeah, and we're certainly grateful for your involvement in the district and really your dedication to us. So before we jump into the foundation talk, tell us a little bit about yourself. You've been in the community for a while.
I've been here about 12 years. I worked for the town of Prescott Valley as a finance manager. Did some other things, and last I did was I owned a farmer's insurance agency out in Dewey. Sold that last August, and I still work for Vince Mosier and his agency a little bit, but now I'm working into semi-retirement, so yeah. It's kind of nice not to have that work schedule, which actually frees me up and gives me more time to work on things to help the foundation out. So
yeah, you know they say it's always better to have something to do rather than have to do something.
Right,
and I'm not in the same phase that you are.
You'll get there someday.
But we're certainly glad that you've been freed up to help us out.
Right,
more and more. And Vince Mosier has been a great, really a great partner to the school district,
exactly.
And is a part of the HEF board as well. So for our viewers, talk a little bit about the Humboldt Education Foundation and some of the work that's going on with HEF.
Well, the Humboldt Education Foundation expanded the board a couple of years ago. I think there was, five or six on the original board. And we expanded. We're up in the 15, 16 range. Always looking for those people in the community who want to be on the board and help us. But last year, we had a lot more help in doing the Teacher of the Year banquet. We had a great banquet. We had over 200 people attending the banquet. We put that on at the Prescott Resort, and thanks to Steve Bracetti, they do a great job for us there. And just had I think there was so much energy, a lot of energy in the room that night, and a lot of excitement that we now will be able to start to do some of the things the foundation was set up to do, which is give money back to the teachers through grants and also student scholarships.
Yeah, you know, I do have to mention on the event last year, the Teacher of the Year, it's happened annually for quite some time, but you're right. There was a different energy I felt last year, and I think a lot of that does go to the foundation. The foundation
right.
took that over. 100% took that over last year. And what was neat, you mentioned about 200 people in the room, is, you know, we've always done the event where we've honored the teachers, and of course the students stand up and they read their essay, which is obviously a mm-hmm. highlight. But we had more community members in the audience, more than we have in the past. In the past, it's always been kind of a humble event. This was more of a community event recognizing our teachers, and I think that's really what the energy was.
And that's right, and we had some great sponsors last year, and there a lot of them have stepped up already this year. We're out right now in the community talking to our businesses, and anything they can do to help will be great, because this money goes back to the teachers, and it goes right in the classroom for things they need that, I know a lot of these teachers are paying for things out of their own pocket, which is terrible. I think it's so unacceptable. So what we try to do is give them the opportunity to do some more things that they couldn't do within the constraints of the schools. And that's going to help our teachers educate better, and it'll help our students have a better education.
Yeah, I absolutely could not agree more. And I don't think it hurts either that our students are able to benefit from this, but also see as role models community members giving back. And when you see, when you observe that growing up, that's going to lend itself to you doing the same thing as you leave our school system and become a part of the community. So this, the Teacher of the Year banquet in the past was kind of a break-even affair. It was really about recognizing the teachers. We maintained the recognition aspect of it, but really went into the fundraising piece and did a great job last year. So now we're really going into some grant cycles. The money from that event has turned into teacher grants. Talk a little bit about the grant program that's now in place.
Okay. Well, we've broken it up into three quarters. And the first quarter, we got the teachers turned in 34 applications. And the money requested for those 34 applications was over $15,000. We'd love to have funded all of those, but unfortunately, we only have $6,000 for the whole year, so we only had $2,000 to fund that. So we picked, I think it was five projects.
We had five projects
in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And we gave them $2,000, about $500 each, or I think a couple were at the 250 level.
Yeah, and the reach on that was was about 2,000 students, so it was pretty impactful.
Which is great. I mean, the more we can impact the students and give them a better education, that's what our goal is. So, and then we just went through the second quarter, and we had 13 applications. And so then we chose five of those, and again, we had a budget of $2,000, and this is going to reach out to 480 students. So
yeah, we're getting quite a reach with this.
And we're now in the third cycle. They're going to be turning in grants for that cycle. And like I said, again, we'll do another $2,000. But I'm looking forward to next year because I think after this banquet, we're going to raise more money, which will be able to increase our budget that we can give back on a quarterly basis.
Yeah, I think the work that the foundation has done, I mean, just to get to the point where we are able to give out grants to teachers is phenomenal, a huge step forward, and we're certainly appreciative of that. But we would love to have provided the $15,000 in that whole first cycle, and we're working on it. I think this banquet's going to do well, and we have members in the community who are stepping up as sponsors for that banquet, and they still can.
That's right.
Members in the community who are interested in getting involved and getting some dollars to the foundation that then goes directly to the classroom can contact the Humboldt Education Foundation. Actually, you can contact the foundation right through their website, which is at the humbolteducationfoundation.org. So, Jim, we have a couple cycles here. We're coming up into the third cycle of grant applications, Teacher of the Year. Talk a little bit about the Teacher of the Year for this coming up this year. It's going to get on us here pretty quick.
Yeah, we've already, again, it'll be held at the Prescott Resort. We're working with them to get all the activities planned out. The unique thing about this Teacher of the Year banquet, like you said, was the teachers are nominated by their students who write essays as to why their teacher should be nominated or win the Teacher of the Year, which is great. So it goes through the selection process. It comes to the Humboldt Education Foundation. So we have to read those. These are great essays,
yeah,
too.
That's a great afternoon when we start going through all
right.
of those.
And so reading those essays and then making the selections, that's where the difficult part is. But we do that. And then, of course, the night of the event, and then teachers haven't seen these essays. So the students come to the event and read their essays right in front of their teacher. And it's just a very a nice event, very touching event.
Yeah, it is. It's a great way to celebrate our teachers and our staff. And I think the students being a part of that is a unique aspect that really brings a different feel to the event and to the night itself. So The Teacher of the Year event is taking place this March.
March 24th.
March 24th, and we're still at the resort?
Still at the resort, yes.
So March 24th at the resort, and people can sign up for a sponsor. There's tickets available.
That's right.
There's all different ways to get involved, and the funds raised, as Jim mentioned, the funds raised during that event go to the foundation and to the grant program. The foundation has a couple of other goals besides just expanding the grant. We've talked about student scholarships.
Correct.
Talk a little bit about what you see as the future for the foundation as we keep moving forward.
Well, I just see us expanding the foundation and working with our community leaders so that we can increase the amount of funds that we gather. Right now we give out one scholarship, the Carm Staker Scholarship, which is, I think, about $500. And of course, Carm Staker was one of the original board members.
Oh, yeah.
A great community leader. So we're happy to do that. I'd like to see us expand that to do more in the scholarship range and look for other needs in the schools as far as teacher training. You know, there's just so many opportunities
there are, yeah,
to support the educators and our education system here. So I think it's wide open. It's a matter of, you know, getting our names out in the community and having the community see what we're doing and know that the money is going in the right place. That's important.
Yeah, I think it's great. We, as you mentioned earlier, we've expanded the board. We're continually looking for more folks who want to get involved with the foundation, whether it's as a board member or just with some committee work. You know, we've talked before that, you know, the way this community goes and the school district goes, it's a symbiotic relationship. You know, as the school district goes, the community goes, and as the community goes, the school district goes. And it's great to bring all of our different stakeholder groups together and work together in the best interest of our kids.
Right.
And this is just one great example of how that happens.
And I want to say, too, that you know, I've worked with you over 11 years, and you've done a great job from when you were the principal to high school to the superintendent. A lot of things, if you go to some of the events you put on there and explain what's happening, it's amazing. We're doing the best job we can with the funds available that you get for education.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. We're fortunate. We have great partners in the community. You're certainly one of them. We're going to take a short break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Talk of the Town, Prescott Valley on KQNA, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, and streaming live worldwide at kqna.com.
Hi, this is Sam with Prescott Dirt, and we've been family-owned and operated since 1999. We've just expanded our inventory and now have over 80 different products to suit your landscaping needs. We even have planters mixed for gardening, fill dirt, topsoil, ABC, sand, and boulders. So whatever you need, we've got you covered. We even deliver. Come by and check us out at our Prescott Valley office on Highway 69 and Lake Valley Road next to Napa, or in Prescott off of Willow Creek Road and Sandretto Drive behind Affinity RV.
Today, there are many ways to return your heart to health. At Yavapai Regional Medical Center's James Family Heart Center in Prescott, our heart doctors work together to find the solution that's best for you. YRMC's heart physicians are top in their cardiology specialties. They're trained in the most advanced heart procedures, many that don't even require an incision. That gets you back to an active life faster. The latest, less invasive procedures, innovative surgical solutions, world-class technology, and amazing heart specialists, all at the James Family Heart Center at Yavapai Regional Medical Center. Inspired by you.
My portfolio's diversified, my 401k's maxed, but my savings account just sat there till I switched it to Marcus by Goldman Sachs. I'm earning way more now, and just between you and me, my savings are right on track, feels like I got upgraded for free.
You can money. With an online savings account from Marcus by Goldman Sachs, you could earn much more interest than with the largest banks. Sign up at Marcus.com.
Comparison made to the three largest U.S. banks measured by total deposits. Rates as of January 21st, 2020 may vary by state. Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC.
Do you want a chance to win a free lunch at Prescott Brewing Company? Just check our website or follow us on Facebook to find out this week's lucky lunch letters. We draw them every Friday, and if the letters we draw match your first and last name initials, yay, you win a free lunch the following Tuesday. Or find out the old-fashioned way. Just pick up the phone and call us at 771-2795. Prescott Brewing Company, in the heart of downtown Prescott.
Cheers to 25 years.
Arizona Coyotes hockey is live on AM 1130 at 99.9 FM and 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley, Cottonwood, KQ&A. Coyotes hockey brought to you by Yamapai Plumbing and Heating, Prescott Dirt, Nazaire, Country Bank, Moyers Heating and Cooling, Prescott Dental Center, and Prescott Valley Heating and Cooling.
He'll shoot! He scores!
The Arizona Coyotes take on the Edmonton Oilers live tonight at 7. Hear all the live action on Cattle Country, 94.3 and 103.1 FM, KDDL.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the superintendent of the Humboldt Unified School District, Dan Streeter.
And welcome back. We are talking Humboldt Education Foundation. We've been talking a little bit about Teacher of the Year, but really our focus is on teacher grants. Joining Jim and I in studio is actually one of our former Teacher of the Year recipients from Bradshaw Mountain Middle School. Outstanding English teacher in the district, Miss Diane Hamilton. Diane, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is a great opportunity.
So we're really excited to talk to you. I want to talk about the grant you received, but before I jump into that, let's go back a little bit. You've been in the district for
7 years.
7 years, mm-hmm. And all at Bradshaw Mountain Middle.
Yes. Yeah.
One of the cool things about my job as a district administrator is I get to go to all the schools and I get to see great teaching in different classrooms. And I've been in Diane's classroom several times. Mm-hmm. Love your focus on literacy.
Mm-hmm.
The work that you do to get our young, and really I say young kids, but you get them in middle school.
Yep.
But just to develop that love of reading.
Yes.
That's really a lifelong thing.
Yeah. That's always been from when I first started teaching, that was always a passion of mine, really trying to get kids not only to read because it was required, but to read because they enjoy it. And it's a huge passion of mine. And the more that I can get kids involved in reading, the better.
Yeah, that's such a neat thing. So let's go back. What brought you out to Bradshaw Mountain Middle School? What brought you out to the area?
Well, at the time, my boyfriend, who is now my husband, he had moved out to Prescott to attend college at Prescott College. And, you know, things kind of just evolved from there. I wasn't super happy with the teaching position I had in Michigan. I was teaching high school. That was my first year teaching, and I decided, you know, I'd go out here to Arizona and join him. And we just fell in love with the area, fell in love with the school. You know, working at Bradshaw Mountain Middle School, it was great, and we've been out here ever since. So. Mm.
Yeah. And that's good. Sometimes we get the spouses or boyfriend, girlfriends, someone's in college, they graduate from college and they leave. You're still here.
Yep, we are still here, and we will be here for a while.
That's excellent. So you're a graduate of Michigan State.
Yes, yep.
I only mention that as a Sun Devil. I'm very happy that we have beat Michigan State in football the last couple years.
Oh, yeah, that's been hard. That's been really hard.
So I think between you and Karen Lavosky, I've gotten a lot of mileage with this, so.
Mm-hmm.
But Michigan State, you were a runner in college.
I was, yeah. And I ran for 5 years, actually, at Michigan State. I was redshirted my freshman year. So I was a big runner in high school, ran collegiately at Michigan State, Division I. Suffered a lot of injuries while I was there, so it wasn't, my college career wasn't as fruitful as I hoped it would be, but just really grateful for the experience. And now I coach cross country at Bradshaw Mountain Middle and track as well.
Yeah, excellent. And you coached my oldest son.
Yes.
Through the program.
Yep, Colin.
So
mm-hmm.
Colin was under your tutelage there. So
yep.
He had a great time. Really pleased that he had the opportunity to work mm-hmm. with you. So thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
So let's jump into the grant.
Okay.
So Jim, I'll go back to you. This came out of the second round of grants and we had a literacy focus on these grants.
That's right. We found that in the first go-around of applications, there was a lot of emphasis on literacy.
So we narrowed the focus on the second round strictly literacy. That's probably why we have fewer grants in that second round. But we're going to change that over time too. So each quarter we'll look at that. But so we focused on that, and then explain what you submitted for as far as the grant for your class.
Sure. My grant was for Kindle e-readers, and basically, my thinking in applying for this grant is, like I had mentioned before, getting kids to enjoy reading and love reading has always been a passion of mine, and I've always had a classroom library where kids can check out books and, you know, books of all different genres, and the classroom library was put together, a lot of the books, my own money I spent on those books, various other grants. I was really lucky in 2012 or maybe it was 2014. I can't quite remember, but I received a really prestigious literacy grant. It was given to me by the Book Love Foundation. And what they do is they grant teachers all across the country. They get a classroom library full of 500 books. And so that really started my classroom library, and it was a jumping off point for all of the books that I had. And what I've realized over the years is that I really can't keep up with maintaining a classroom library the way that I had hoped. Books are, they get damaged, they get lost, they, you know, just the everyday wear and tear. And I teach middle school, so you can probably imagine there's some wear and tear there. And so my thinking with the grant is I'd like to transition my classroom library into more of an electronic or digital library, and the e-readers will help me do that. So transitioning more, instead of buying paper copies, hardcover copies of books, buying digital or electronic copies of books, because usually they're cheaper. They, of course, will last longer, hopefully, with a Kindle format. So that really inspired me to apply for this grant.
And how are the students taking to that transition? Is that something that just comes natural for them?
I think it will. I have to say I really haven't started implementing ordering the Kindles yet, because I feel like I have a lot of research to do to make sure that I do this well, I do it properly, and all of that. But I think that the kids these days, they're really used to reading things electronically. They're really used to making that transition from print to digital. So I think that a lot of kids it will increase motivation at the very least, I think it will be an easy transition for them.
And I have to think there's an opportunity to even just expand the library.
Oh, yes,
of
course.
It's so much easier. Anybody out there who has a Kindle, it's so mm-hmm. easy to carry around multiple books. Or anybody who's traveled before, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you have weight limits when you're getting on airplanes and overseas, and those Kindles come in handy, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, that's the way that the direction that reading is going is more digital formats. And so I think that our students have to feel proficient reading electronically as well, because that's the way that we're – the world is going.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know. I agree, and I love my Kindle, although I do love the feel of a book.
Oh yes,
and
me too.
And I love filling my bookshelves at home. That's mm-hmm. I think I drive my wife crazy, but that's
yeah.
I think I'm the same way. I was brought up on books, so it's harder for me to sit there and read electronically. But you know, it's the wave of the future. So you know.
Yeah, and I think our students have plenty of opportunities to still read print.
Right.
Hard copy books, our textbooks, a lot of our materials are hard copy. And so I think it's important that they have exposure to both.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think the novelty of just using the Kindles and the e-readers is going to help. But again, expanding that library mm-hmm. and giving kids access to more more titles, I think, will be beneficial. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about what that looks like in middle school. I'm a parent. I have one child who loves to read. He's really a voracious reader. But I have another child who it's a struggle, right? It's mm-hmm. His entire academic career has just been a fight with us trying to get him to read. Mm-hmm. Talk about how that works at the middle school and some of the strategies you use to develop that love.
Sure. I think choice is one of the most important components of getting kids to enjoy reading. Of course, we have our texts that we use as a whole class because they teach important literary elements or they address the standards that we're working with. But as far as independent, free reading, I think choice has to be a huge component of it. So students have to have... they have to have lots of access to books, but lots of different kinds of books, so different genres. So realistic fiction, nonfiction, science fiction, fantasy, all of those different genres. And something that I do a lot is I give book talks where I will talk about different genres of books that either I've read or I've heard about that I think kids will really be interested in reading. And so if I talk about a book, I found that kids are more likely to look into that book and possibly check it out to read it because, you know, it sounded good from Miss Hamilton, so
right.
They're interested in reading it. So just having choice, having reading role models like myself, so I often will read with the kids. They see me as an adult reading and enjoying reading, and I think that's really important. Yeah, and just having access to great books is really what gets kids reading. And I tell them all the time, it only takes one book for you to become a reader. One good book, and you are a reader for life.
Absolutely.
So we're trying to find that book for those kids.
I think that's great. I think all of us grew up, or maybe I'm wrong, but I grew up in a system where there was a narrow focus on what we were allowed to read. And I think in situations like that, we can turn young readers off at an early age, and I would agree that idea of choice. We're having a great conversation. We're not going to stop. Well, we're going to take a break from the conversation, but don't go anywhere. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Talk of the Town, Prescott Valley on KQ&A, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, and streaming live worldwide at KQ&A.com.
The open road is waiting for you at Affinity RV. You get a home with a view.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service Sales and Rentals, and we're proud to have been chosen one of the top 50 RV dealerships in North America. We're located at Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69, Prescott Valley, and Dewey, and online at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
Do you want a chance to win a free lunch at Prescott Brewing Company? Just check our website or follow us on Facebook to find out this week's lucky lunch letters. We draw them every Friday, and the letters we draw match your first and last name initials. Yay, you win a free lunch the following Tuesday. Or find out the old-fashioned way. Just pick up the phone and call us at 771-2795. Prescott Brewing Company in the heart of downtown Prescott.
Cheers to 25 years.
I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle Brothers. From Gettle's High Desert Mechanical.
Home of the once-in-a-lifetime experience.
What do you mean, Ted?
On average, people are going to buy a new furnace or AC unit once in their lifetime.
So they might as well buy the best.
Yeah, because if our name's on it, we want you to be comfortable.
For a lifetime.
Go to GettlesHDM.com. That's G-O-E-T-T-L. The guys and gals at Gettle's get it. Got it? Good.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Will you be my Valentine?
Bruce, what does Valentine's Day have to do with Cottonwood Area Transit? After all, it's a sweet ride every day with Cat.
Rudy, life is like a box of chocolates. Every day with Cottonwood Area Transit routes through Clarkdale, Verde Village, and 26 locations in Cottonwood. With Verde Links, it's a quick and easy trip to Sedona every day.
Don't forget our connectors to Camp Verde and Greyhound through Yavapai Nation Transit.
That's why you're a smooth operator, Rudy.
And I'm taking my sweetheart on the Verde Link to Sedona.
Visit cottonwoodaz.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit and make every day a sweet ride.
Oh, say, can you see?
It's not every day you hear a British person singing the national anthem, but success is about getting the right attention. At A&E Reprographics, we provide printing that catches the eye. Get your business noticed with exciting new print marketing and signage. Quality marketing shows the quality service we know you provide. Stop by one of our three great locations or call 442-9116. Get your business noticed with A&E Reprographics today.
When you're diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer,
a lot of questions run through your mind.
What am I going to do? What are my options? What did I do wrong? We've had those thoughts too.
But some questions can help you move forward.
Visit findyourmbcvoice.com for an interactive guide to help you learn the next steps to take after an MBC diagnosis.
And how to ask the questions that lead to an open and informed conversation with your doctor.
Start finding your voice today
at findyourmbcvoice.com.
The Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Good afternoon, and thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Tuesday. I'm Nick Canuel, in for DJ Phone, with a check of news and weather together on Talk of the Town, brought to you by Affinity RV. The Yavapai County Board of Supervisors will be deciding whether to become a Second Amendment sanctuary county. This controversial resolution that supports the Second Amendment was before the board last month, but after 3.5 hours of discussion, members decided to postpone a decision until tomorrow's meeting at 9 a.m. During a recent live appearance on KQ&A's Talk of the Town, Supervisor Tom Thurman detailed why this measure is being looked at.
If Congress passes a bill, or the legislature passes the bill, or the voter puts a proposition out there and passes that, that becomes state law. And if it's state law or federal law, we have to adhere to whatever it is, like it or not.
Thurman says he's not a fan of Governor Doug Ducey's red flag law, which is related to the Yavapai County resolution.
And that's for these people that have somebody in their home that is mentally unstable, and they turn them in before hopefully they don't shoot up something somewhere. Then you start thinking about the unintended consequence, which usually comes back to bite us all. What if I get into an altercation with my neighbor?
It was standing room only at the County Administrative Services building on Fair Street in Prescott last month, and that could be the case again tomorrow. Watch for delays if you travel on Highway 89 near the towns of Yarnell and Peoples Valley.
Lane closures are necessary while ADOT crews complete crack fill work on a 7-mile stretch of the roadway. Highway 89 will be narrowed to one lane only with alternating north and southbound travel. Flaggers and a pilot car will direct traffic through the work zone. The speed limit is reduced to 35 miles per hour. The restrictions are in place from 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. through Friday, February 14th. Meanwhile, ADOT crews have completed demolition operations on the Government Canyon Bridge located on Overland Road between East Gurley Streets and Cactus Drive. Now that that work is finished, crews will be constructing the bridge foundation throughout the month. The bridge is closed to through traffic until March 2nd. Work hours are 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. I'm Lindsay Draper reporting.
Taking a look now at your KQ&A weather. Sunny skies this afternoon. Clear tonight and sunshine with gradually warming temperatures in the forecast into your weekend. Expect a high of 37 today for the Prescott Quad Cities with a low tonight of 16 and a high tomorrow 42. 41 degrees the high today for Cottonwood with an overnight low of 23 and a Wednesday high of 46. Talk of the Town will continue after this. I'm Nick Canuel in for DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM in Prescott and a 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. KQ&A.
At Augie's Restaurant, they earn your loyalty by treating you like royalty. Every time you visit, you know Augie's will be at your service, friendly, prompt, and courteous. People love coming back to Augie's again and again, where you and your favorite dishes are remembered. Yes, you have choices for dining out, but as a locally owned restaurant, Augie's always knows your name. You're always welcome at Augie's. See you next time at the place to dine on Highway 69, Augie's Frontier Village.
You home already?
Yeah, it's just too nasty to be out and about. I think I'll just have Olson's for Healthy Animals in Prescott deliver the stuff we need.
What's that? Pet food deliveries?
This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals, and yes, you heard that right. Pet food, pet supply, and bird seed deliveries within 10 miles of our Prescott store to your door. And delivery is free on orders over $25. You just call our Prescott store at 445-1664, give our cashier your order, pay by credit card, and we'll have it to you the same day if you order in the morning before we leave.
Okay, but don't you want to see us in your store?
Yeah, but sometimes you just can't make it here when you need the food and other goodies. Or you just need some muscle to load it into the storage bins at your house. This delivery service will take care of that. And once again, it's free on deliveries over $25 within 10 miles of Olson's Prescott store. And as an added bonus, you'll get Olson's Good Enough Just Isn't service because we have an incredible delivery driver. See you at your house.
With the Arizona Lottery's new multiplier tickets, we're multiplying the cash up to 50 times so you can multiply what you love. There's nothing better. Think about it. What's better than one guitar? 50 guitars. What's better than one Hawaiian vacation? 50 Hawaiian vacations. What's better than one $20 bill? 50 of them. With over $35 million in prizes, there are so many ways to multiply what you love.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the superintendent of the Humboldt Unified School District, Dan Streeter.
And welcome back. We're having a great conversation in studio. We're talking HEF. We're talking teacher grants. Actually, we were talking some literacy and just good old-fashioned teaching. We had Amy Van Winkle, the choir director from the high school, scheduled to join us today. She is tied up. We're not going to get her in studio. So we're certainly sorry about that. We're going to bring her back in the future. But this does allow us to continue the conversation with Diane Hamilton and Jim Clements. So, Diane, as we went into that last break, we were talking a little bit about getting students to read and how we get some of those the students that struggle, that low-interest reader, and talked about the importance of choice. But let's talk a little bit about what's happening in an ELA, English Language Arts, mm-hmm. classroom at the middle school level, the different things that's a part of your curriculum.
Sure. So our curriculum, it's very comprehensive. We cover all of the aspects of literacy, reading, writing, speaking, listening, all of those. So we use at the middle school level, we have a Houghton Mifflin curriculum called Collections, and it's a really great comprehensive collection in that it has short stories, it has poems, it has informational articles. The students do lots of reading and annotating. They are writing at a really high level. We really focus on getting them to write citing text evidence, using sources, integrating those into their writing. And then, of course, you know, we save room for the more fun, creative pieces as well. So independent reading, of course, too, like we were talking about before, we really want them to have exposure to rigorous reading and writing that will prepare them for the high school level, but we also want them to realize that reading and writing can be fun, and so we make opportunities for choice and creativity as well.
Yeah, I know quite a bit of nonfiction. There's been a focus on nonfiction over the last few years, and what we used to call, when I was a principal working with my teachers, I'd call it pen in hand reading, where you're really doing those critical reading strategies and working through that. But there is still a focus on fiction. We're still looking at the classics. Those things have not been thrown out.
No, reading literature is still a major component of our curriculum. So what's nice about the way that we teach now is at Bradshaw we have a teaming structure, and so we meet on a daily basis with our math and our science and our social studies special ed teachers. We all meet together, and what's nice for us ELA teachers is that the sciences and math and social studies, they have taken some of the burden of teaching reading, because they're reading informational texts, they're reading articles, they're using marking the text strategies for their word problems in math. And so when they carry the burden of some of the more informational type reading and writing, in ELA, that frees up space for us to focus on literature and poetry and all of the dramas and all of those things that most of us who became English teachers, we were really passionate about those things to begin with.
And I think there's an important historical literacy component. You want to be historically literate. You want to be able to discuss some of the classics and some of the works that have made up our
definitely.
Country's history. So,
mm-hmm.
Jim, we were actually talking during the break a little bit, but Diane said something when we were, I'm kind of jumping back to our grant a little bit, but getting kids to read and choice. But something jumped out at you, and I'm gonna throw it to you right now.
Yeah, it was in the last segment. Diane was talking about, getting books for her classroom, and the fact that she had to take money out of her own pocket to pay for those. And that's exactly what we don't want to force our teachers to do. That's why the foundation is here, is to get the community to back our teachers through the foundation. And the more that we can collect the money going to the foundation, we will up the amount of money going back to the classroom. And it goes directly to the classroom with not as many restrictions. I'll go into what our third quarter grant application. The focus is going to be on flexible learning for the classroom. And this is done through seating changes, technology, classroom tools. But we can be very flexible on what we can accept for a grant application to help the teachers do better job teaching in their classroom.
So. Yeah, I think this next round of grants will be, I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing about what comes in. You know, there's an acknowledgement out there that there's skills that kids need to have in order to be successful here in the 21st century. And they have to have content knowledge. We've always talked about that. There's things they have to know. But there's also skills that transcend content knowledge, skills beyond content knowledge. We need kids to be able to critically think and communicate and collaborate and be creative, right? Take an idea and go from idea to publish. And if we're going to create environments where we're going to develop those skills, we have to start acknowledging that our learning environments then need to match that pedagogy. And that means classrooms have to look a little bit different than they did back when we were going through an industrialized era model of education. And so it'll be interesting to see what comes through.
Yeah, and coming from the business world, obviously business is changing. You have to be out there. You have to interact with your clients, your vendors, your staff, your company management. And this can help them relate to that much better as they go forward. And I think it really makes it so that they could be very successful in their future.
Yeah. So, Diane, Bradshaw Mountain Middle School is doing some really cool work.
Yes, we are.
This year. Well, not just this year, but you guys were really working through the high reliability schools framework and moving up towards a standards-based reporting and competency-based education. But I think what's really neat is the teaming aspect.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about that.
I would have to say, we've been, you know, undergoing all kinds of changes at Bradshaw this year. And the one thing that we all agree has been by far the most beneficial change has been the teaming structure that we've adopted. And I mentioned a little bit earlier how we meet every day as a team. So my seventh grade team consists of myself and our social studies teacher, science teacher, math teacher, and a special ed teacher. And so every day we have a common planning time where we sit down and we can discuss student concerns. We can discuss instructional strategies. We can discuss, you know, anything that has come up that has affected one of us or affecting students. And by far, it's been one of the really most cool things that I've seen come out of this year, because a lot of times as teachers, we're used to being in silos by ourselves. And, you know, maybe you would interact with your department colleagues in the hallway in between classes, but there was really no cohesive collaboration happening among teachers. And I think, like you were saying, that the 21st century model that we're moving towards is all about collaboration. And so by far, it's been one of the most awesome things that we've done this year.
Yeah, you know, we can't expect our students to collaborate effectively if we're not modeling
exactly
that ourselves for our students. And we talk, education is, you talked about silos. I mean, traditionally teachers go to their classroom. Everyone's excited to get my classroom. And we talk about a lot of times teachers in a school, it's a bunch of independent contractors that are joined by a common parking lot. And Bradshaw Mountain Middle School has really broke down that structure. It's not independent contractors anymore. Now it's truly a team feel. So
yes,
excited about the work that's taking place there. Excited about the work that the foundation's doing to help support some of that work. I think this next grant cycle will be excited. I'm excited to see what comes to us.
That's right. And it was great to hear from Diane today, because this is the real where the rubber meets the road is what they're doing in the classroom. And that's where the foundation is here to help them out. And I just encourage our community to get behind the foundation, our community businesses. Certainly, you know, please contact us if you'd like to be a sponsor. It's just a great event, and it does help the community.
Yeah, great community partnerships that we have there. Diane, talk Bradshaw Mountain Middle School this last year, and I'm going to go ahead and go to the state accountability system, the A through F system. There wasn't a school in the area that showed more growth in one year than Bradshaw Mountain Middle School. That was pretty phenomenal. I have a feeling I know the answer to this, but talk a little bit. What do you think led to that success?
I think it was a combination of a lot of different factors. I think for a few years now, we've been putting school-wide strategies in place for reading and writing and literacy, and I think that has really contributed to our success. I think we have a really dedicated staff at our school, and you know, with the whole teaming model that we've taken on, just working together to solve problems. To get that letter grade of B was amazing. You know, we've wanted that for ever since I started working there.
Wow,
7 years ago.
You guys are pushing the A. You guys almost shot right past that. But you know, you said something. You guys, Bradshaw Middle's always had a great staff.
Yes.
It really has been. Since I moved up here 11 years ago. But I think it's the teaming. I think it's that cross-curricular focus and interdisciplinary focus on reading and writing. I think you're right. I think that made a huge difference. And that
yes.
campus is moving, doing great things. So,
mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Jim, we're winding down this segment. I'm getting the hand signals here that they're going to kick us out of the studio.
That's right.
We want this community involved in their community school district.
That's right.
We want this. These are our schools. This is our community. These are our community schools. If somebody wants to get involved, what do they need to do? How do we get involved with the foundation?
Well, certainly, if go to our website. That's HumboldtEducationFoundation.org. There's contact information out there. Board members, you can contact myself. You can call my cell phone. I'll give you from my cell phone number, 928-499-2288. We just really need your help, and we're going to make this thing great, and we're going to make it happen and really help the educators and teachers. And I see the foundation growing leaps and bounds in the next few years, and we will be able to support our education system here.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Diane, thanks for being in the studio with us
today. Thank
you so much. Love the conversation. Jim, thanks for joining me. I think this is round two
That's right.
So, and I'm going to bring you back after this next round of grants because I want to talk those as well. So, great show. Really thank you guys, both of you. Really enjoyed the time. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Talk of the Town Prescott Valley on KQ&A, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, and streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com.
Barrett Propane, the name you trust. We want you to stay comfortable with us. Over the years, we've taken pride in serving you. Locally owned, we're neighbors too. Serving the community is what we do. Barrett Propane, the name that's tried and true. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Roses are red, violets are blue. There's a giant share of Castle Cash waiting for you. It's the Don't Break My Heart giveaway at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel. Two hearts are better than one, so grab a loved one and start earning entries all February. Hourly drawings every Saturday in February from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for a chance to win $5,000 in Castle Cash. At 11 p.m., a lucky guest will have a chance to win $10,000 in Castle Cash. It's the Don't Break My Heart giveaway, only at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel.
Must be 21 and a Players Club member to participate. See Players Club for details.
Let's make your hair happy. Let's go to a fun-friendly salon. Let's go to Tanessa's Family Hair Care in Prescott Valley. Hi, Tanessa here. Whether you're looking for a new trendy style or something more traditional, Tanessa's Family Hair Care can do it. We offer everything from hair extensions, cuts, colors, and a variety of hair care for the entire family. Call 775-0320 for an appointment or find us on Facebook at Tanessa's, with an E, Family Hair Care. Come on in for a smile and a style that's right for you.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last independent agents in Prescott.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Will you be my Valentine?
Bruce, what does Valentine's Day have to do with Cottonwood Area Transit? After all, it's a sweet ride every day with Cat.
Rudy, life is like a box of chocolates. Every day with Cottonwood Area Transit routes through Clarkdale, Verde Village, and 26 locations in Cottonwood. With Verde Links, it's a quick and easy trip to Sedona every day.
Don't forget our connectors to Camp Verde and Greyhound through Yavapai Nation Transit.
That's why you're a smooth operator, Rudy.
And I'm taking my sweetheart on the Verde Link to Sedona.
Visit cottonwoodaz.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit and make every day a sweet ride.
I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle Brothers. From Gettle's High Desert Mechanical.
Home of the once-in-a-lifetime experience.
What do you mean, Ted?
On average, people are going to buy a new furnace or AC unit once in their lifetime.
So they might as well buy the best.
Yeah, because if our name's on it, we want you to be comfortable.
For a lifetime.
Go to GettlesHDM.com. That's G-O-E-T-T-L. The guys and gals at Gettle's get it. Got it? Good.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, the superintendent of the Humboldt Unified School District, Dan Streeter.
And I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. We had a great conversation with one of our outstanding teachers, Diane Hamilton. She truly does just a great job down at Bradshaw Mountain Middle School. She's part of a great team. We had Humboldt Education Foundation President Jim Clemens talking Teacher of the Year banquet, talking teacher grants, really had a lot of neat things happening in our community. So huge thank you goes out to today's guest, President Jim Clemens and BMMS Teacher Diane Hamilton. Today was really a spotlight on our teachers and the great things that are taking place in our classrooms, as well as a spotlight on the Humboldt Education Foundation and the great work that they're doing as a community partner with the Humboldt Unified School District. This is Dan Streeter, proud superintendent of the Humboldt Unified School District. Remember, you can always find us here from 4 to 5 p.m. the first Tuesday of every month for all things HUSD. Until next time, have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Olson's for Healthy Animals, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Cottonwood Area Transit, Janessa's Family Hair Care, A&E Reaper Graphics, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Prescott Dirt, and Yavapai Regional Medical Center. The views on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.